I also am very appreciative of Daniela Horwitz, who's president of iHUDIFA, and how much work that organization has done to come together with the International Academy of Family Lawyers to produce this webinar. Welcome to all of you who are not members of IAFL, and I would like to encourage you to become a fellow. It's a wonderful organization. There is lots of details about the work we do worldwide on our website, International Academy of Family Lawyers. And after this webinar, you will receive on Monday an email with a link to our website with information about joining if you are interested. So without further ado, I again welcome you, have a wonderful session, and I turn it over to Daniela. Daniela, thank you.
Thank you, Marlene. I will speak Spanish for a while. Buenos días a todos y todas. En mi calidad de presidenta de IJUDEFA, es un placer y un honor poder inaugurar estas primeras jornadas conjuntas entre IAFL y IJUDEFA, que espero impongan una costumbre que perdure en el tiempo. Hoy, buen día, muy bienvenidos a todos los colegas que hablan portugués. Es una honra poder contar con vosotros y considerar el portugués como una de las lenguas de traducción simultánea a fin de expandir fronteras e incorporarlos en todas las actividades. Good morning and good afternoon on behalf of IJUDEFA. Welcome, everybody. I'm so happy to be here today with you. IFL and IJUDEFA have put together this excellent webinar with the most prominent speakers from America and the Caribbean, all working together to keep us updated of what is going on family law under jurisdictions and improve family law practice. So let's start, and thank you, Marlene, for this alliance. Jorge, are you there to
I'm
start?
here. I'm here. I just need the rest of my panel. There we go. One more. All right, we're ready to go. Welcome, everybody. My name is George Sestero, or Jorgito as I'm more known in Latin America. I would like to welcome you. I am a fellow of the IAFL and a member of IJUDEFA. I am from West Palm Beach, Florida in the USA. I am honored to be joined today by really what I would call the South American All-Stars. This is a group of South America's most distinguished lawyers. I witnessed it firsthand, having been in Santiago de Chile at the end of 2019. So I would like to first introduce Patricia Cuyumbillan de Williams from Argentina, Juan Francisco Sarricueta from Chile, Adriana Aranja Kapner from Brazil, and Sergio Garcia Bonilla from Colombia. We are going to be giving you a brief overview of relocation law in these South American countries, and perhaps do a little compare and contrast with what I see in the United States. Being from Florida, I'm very fortunate that I get to have lots of South American interaction, especially in South Florida. So I get to see people from the countries that these fabulous lawyers represent quite often. So this should be very helpful for those of you who do lots of practice with South American or have South American clients. So I'm gonna start out with this question. I'd like each of the panelists, let me start with you, Patricia. Just give me a 2-minute overview of how relocation law works in your country, in Argentina.
Hello to everybody, and thank you to IFLEF and IFUDEFA for inviting me. International relocation in Argentina is not regulated by law, nor is there a specific regulation for these cases. That's the reason why proceedings can last several years and resolutions can be completely discretional. The situation affects not only the parents, but especially the children, who find themselves involved in a judicial battle and in a very serious dispute between their parents. The situation sometimes is the cause for international abduction of child. As I said, there is no a guideline, especially for relocations cases, but we can take by analogy the guidelines given by Article 653 of the National Civil and Commercial Code. These guidelines are given for custody for only one parent, but we can use them by analogy for cases of relocation. Which are these guidelines? Well, the first of them is that the priority of the parent who facilitates the right to maintain regular contact with the other. This should be the most important point to be taken into account when decided where and when child should be. The second is the child's age. The maternal preference for children under 5 no longer subsists in our country, but the concept that the mothers are better caregivers of the children has not disappeared. Third, the opinion of the child, and finally, the statu quo. Of course, the overriding principle of law to be applied is the welfare of the child. The focus must be on the child's best interest. Although Argentina took part in the Washington DC conference that was held on March 2010, which gave guidelines for family relocation, unfortunately, these guidelines are almost unknown in Argentina. On the other hand, our country has signed the 1996 Hague Convention, but it has not been ratified, so it is not in force in Argentina. This convention is very important in relocation cases because it could provide an adequate legal framework. To conclude, I may say that the most difficult problems we face in Argentina in regard relocations are, there is no specific procedures, there are not specific guidelines, and this makes that a lot of times the resolutions can be very, very discretional. Thank you.
Thank you. That was fantastic. Juan Francisco, how about in Chile?
Thank you. Good morning and good afternoon to everyone. Well, about relocation in Chile, I may say there, as well as Argentina, there are no regulations in this matter in the Chilean law. However, it's very common that Chilean lawyers use the law that covers the authorization for leaving the country for this purpose. We have a specific article, Article 49 of the Children Law or Children Act, to establish some requirements in order to authorize a parent to leave the country. For traveling abroad, a child needs the authorization of both parents. If they are separated, the parent who has custody right needs the authorization from the other parent if access rights has been regulated by an agreement or even by a judgment. If the other parent does not want to give his or her authorization, the other parent has to request this authorization to the family judge, the competent family judge. But this specific thing about this, it's that this authorization has to be done, must be set for a certain period of time. So if you think about it, it's not exactly a procedure in order to allow a relocation. The intention of this law is just for short trips, for instance, for vacations. And in this case, you have to prove as a parent that you are going on vacation with your children and, for instance, show the reservation, the hotel, the flight ticket, of course. It could be also for longer period. In this case, the judge will needs to have in mind the benefits of the trip, but also the visitation's right that the other parent is actually exercising. Well, and now we have the case law. Because we don't have a specific regulation for this purpose, our Superior Court of Justice has started to render some decisions, mainly these last 5 years, taking this article from the Children Act for the purpose of relocation. Some of these decisions have a new interpretation about the rule contained in Article 49, since the court said that it is possible to grant an authorization for changing the habitual residence country under this article. For that purpose, the family judge has to analyze this rule in the light of the Article 3 of the Convention of the Right on the Right of the Child, taking the best interest of the child as a primary consideration. Thus, the interest of the child has to prevail over the visitation rights of the non-custodial parent, which is a little bit polemical, or you know, it's not an easy interpretation. This is the most case law that we have in the recent years, but there's also some other couple of decisions from the Supreme Court that state the opposite. And that is because we don't have the case law binding like you have in the common law systems. So it's always a matter of discussion.
Excellent, thank you. Adriana, how about in Brazil?
Hi, dear colleagues. It is a great satisfaction to take part of this important debate organized by IAFL and partnership with IUDEFA, in which family law aspects are addressed in different countries and jurisdictions. In Brazil, civil law rules among the family law and inheritance are inserted by, leaded by the federal constitution. That by means of these general principles gives us the direction for interpreting the applicable infraconstitutional rules. Specifically of the matter, we are facing the civil code and the child and teenager statute are the most important laws among their more specific on other aspects. As regards relocation, there is no specific rules. In the case when one of the parents is moving to another city or state with the child, rules of parental powers and custody apply. Furthermore, there's the constitutional principles of the child best interest, which will always be part of background, which means that it is, shall be applied rules principle of broad protection, best interests of the child, broad familiar interaction, apart from other rules about custody and parental and family convivially.
Fantastic. Listen, Sergio, tell us about Colombia. We got a lot of Colombians in South Florida.
Sure. Well, hello. Good morning to everyone. Good afternoon in other countries. As Jorge said, my name is Sergio Garcia. I'm from Colombia. I'm a lawyer with practice here in Colombia. It's an honor to be here today with all these colleagues. First of all, I would like to thank the International Academy of Family and the UDEFA for the invitation to this webinar. Well, in Colombia, international relocation, as in Argentina and Chile, is not specifically regulated in the local regulation. However, the 1778 law issued in 2018 establishes the possibility of giving an exit permit to the children. This permit, in principle, has a temporary nature. That is, it is necessary to include the place where they are going to be, the date of departure, and the date of returning to the country. The law establishes that when a child is living in Colombia and he's going to leave the country with one of his parents, he or she must first obtain authorization from the other parent who is not traveling with the child. This authorization must be authenticated before a public notary or before a consulate. Now in practice, international relocation of minors might work in the same way as for the temporary exit permit. When a minor is going to leave the country permanently with one of his parents, a document must be made with the other parent so that the minor can leave the country without having many temporary permits. The important thing is that this document must be formalized through a public deal. But there is also a possibility of requesting a conciliation or mediation so that through a conciliatory agreement, the conditions of the permanent permit are stated. In any case, this permanent permit can be revoked at any time by the other parent. If there is no agreement between the parents, a lawsuit must be filed before the family court requesting permission to leave permanently the country. This is like the overview of this.
Thank you. You know, and some of my American colleagues would probably agree with me. Most people in the United States consider the southern part of Florida, probably starting in Orlando and working its way south through Miami and the Keys, to be part of Latin America. So the state of Florida was situated in a similar place to Chile back in before 2006. And so basically relocation was controlled by case law. But in 2006, Florida actually passed a statute. And interestingly, Florida's statute, which is found in Chapter 61, which is the general divorce and parenting statute, lays out factors that a court must consider when doing a relocation case. And that is basically, are the reasons valid for the move? If the child is old enough to express a preference, what are they? The economic circumstances of the parties and whether or not the move will have an adverse effect on, on the relationship between the parent that is staying behind. So what I would say to each of you, I'm going to start with Patricia, is you don't have a statute or a rule with regards to international relocation, but what does a court consider then? If I have my case pending in Buenos Aires, what are the factors that a court considers in allowing or not allowing a relocation? The most important ones. Unmute yourself.
Of course, the court will always say that the best interest of the child is the main factor, but which is the main interest of the child? In my experience, the main factors that the court considers are, first of all, the psychological reports of the parents and of the child. Second, the impact the relocation will have in the child's life. Third, not to affect the relationship within the other parent. But this point is very difficult to grant here in Argentina because we are really far away from most of the countries. The fourth one is the voice of the child. It is also very important, no matter their age. And listening to the child is becoming an essential element to define their relocation. Taking the child's opinion requires an important, it's very, very important, especially due to their age and maturity. On the contrary, the reasons for that the parents give for relocation are not so important when it came to a decision.
Interesting. Juan Francisco, does the case law that has developed in Chile set forth factors, or are you still presenting a general best interest case when you're doing your international relocation in Chile?
Well, I think in many cases, the family judge has to analyze different, you know, factors. One of them, the most common, is the benefit for the child with the relocation. And this could be a really wide, you know, expression. It could include, for instance, learning a new language, best possibility to have access to education, to health, to a health system. That's a first factor that the family court has to analyze. But also there's another factor, which is the relationship with the child with the non-custodial parent, because it's not the same if the non-custodial parent has an access right who is actually exercising with comparing with another parent who has a access right, but it's just in the paper. So they don't, this parent or mother doesn't see it very often or don't have a real relationship with the child. That's of course another aspect to be considered. And finally, of course, it's the voice, the opinion of the child. For that purpose, it will take into consideration, it depends of the age of the child, but also his or her maturity. And this is not not always the most important factor, but it's one of the factors that the judge has to consider.
Excellent. Adriana, in Brazil, are the factors similar or are they written down anywhere, or is it just a best interest test on behalf of the court?
Do you want to know about the Juana Patricia question for the rules of internal factors and international relocation, or the interpreted for the court?
Well, tell me first of all if the factors are different or internal or international relocation, and then give me an idea of what factors the court considers.
Yes. For any Brazilian with less than 18 years old to leave the country, both parents' formal allowance is mandatory. If one of the parents is planning to travel or leave the country with their children, who is under 18, the other parent must formally authorize it. If her or she refused to cooperate, it is possible to ask for a judicial measure instead. The same rules apply for the relocation case. However, if just one of the parents have the child's custody and wants to move to another city in Brazil, there's no need of formal approval from the other parent disagree with the relocation. He or she has the legal right to claim that the child should remain in the same place with him or her. If there is sign of danger for the child or parental alienation, the judge can determine the change of residence and prevent the relocation either previous to a full litigation process. And for the factors that the court considered in the relocation, The main factor that the court will consider is the child's best interest, like Patricia said. The parent who plans to relocate the child must demonstrate that the change is objectively justified. Some of the reasons aspects are better financial or work conditions, new marriage, plan of study, or relatives' health demands. The child's age will also be considered, as well how the her or she is connected to each of the parents, each living conditions, and the child's emotional and education needs.
Excellent. The system as it works now sounds very, very similar to the way we had it in Florida in the early 2000s, especially for the internal, because Florida is a very big state, you know, like Brazil is a very large country. Okay, Don Sergio, what factors is a court going to consider in Colombia if you're doing an application for an international relocation?
Sure. First of all, I would like to say that in Colombia, it is important to remember that like other Latin American countries, has a centralized government system. So it is allowed, its law governed throughout the national territory. So Colombian law allows the parent who has the custody of the minor to move throughout the Colombian territory without permission from the other parent. It is different than Brazil or the US. Talking about the factors, as the other countries, they have to analyze the best interest of the child. Among the factors that the judge can study is, for example, the place where the child is going to live, the social environment, for example, the education the child will have, and other opportunities for recreation or culture. Obviously, it is necessary that the parent who is going to leave the country has the custody. In some cases, it will be important as well the contact that the child may have with their family. For example, their grandparents, their uncles, cousins of the same age. That will be really important for the judge. Depending on the age of the child, as in Chile, the family judge may request that the social worker of the minors or the minor defender need to interview the children to find out what are their preferences.
Excellent. You know, and we're going to come back to that in a minute, but quickly from everybody, in Florida, my law says that there shall be no presumption in favor or against relocation. It is my experience from practice that there is a little bit of a presumption against relocation. And my question is to each of you, starting with Patricia, in practice, is there a presumption in favor or against relocation in your country, or is it completely neutral?
No, I think it's the same as you have just said from Florida. My experience told me that in Argentina, there is a presumption against international relocations. Judges prefer to maintain the statu quo when the children, especially when the children are Argentine and they have Argentine family. I think that they feel that if they lose jurisdiction, they won't be able to protect the parents that remained in Argentina. And that's really not correct. But as we don't have the convention 1996, it's very difficult to have guarantees. So I think that that's the problem. The judges are afraid that they won't have enough guarantees to be sure that everything they arrange here will be enforceable in the other country if they accept an international relocation.
Juan Francisco in Chile?
Well, in Chile, in theory, there is no there are no presumptions in favor or against relocation. But I mean, said that a few years ago, there was a presumption against the relocation. Since in many cases, the judge believed that the non-custodial parent will lose the contact with the child once this child go abroad. But now I think this is changing, and it depends on the case. And it depends, of course, of the judge. Some are more conservative about this issue, and some other have more experience with this kind of cases. They believe in the international law and the possibility to enforce some agreement related with child support or visitation access. So I think it's a little bit different right now in Chile.
Adriana, in Brazil, are you feeling any presumptions when you go to court on a relocation case?
There is no presumption or for or against relocation, but in practice, most of the small children stay with their mothers. When they moved to another city or country, probably the child or the children will be with her.
And how about you, Sergio?
There is no presumptions either. Actually, here in Colombia, it's very, very neutral. The judges analyze case by case, and it depends on the best interest. As I said before, they need to be assured that the children are going to be safe, are going to be good. So there is no presumption, actually. We had a case. I would like to share it to you guys in a few minutes. And it was really, really nice because it has many, many things in between.
Excellent. All right. I'm going to ask a couple more questions, and then we're very fortunate that lots of people are interested in our topic and have some questions for the panelists. So my next question is going to be one that's important because sometimes these relocations in Florida turn into a circus with so many people involved, and sometimes they're very streamlined, and judges don't want to hear from mental health professionals and all that stuff. And that varies in the U.S. from state to state. Some states have mandatory guardian ad litems or other or mental health professionals involved in these type of cases, but we don't. It's discretionary on the judge's part if the party asks for it. So, and I know that varies differently throughout South America. Patricia, my understanding, can you tell us a little bit about the involvement of mental health professionals in a relocation case in Argentina?
Of course, as I said, one of the main factors is the psychological report. So the court will design a health professional to evaluate the family and provide the court with a final report. And this evaluation will be very, very relevant at the moment of making the final decision if they will allow or they won't allow the relocation. Because this mental health professional will speak about the relationship of the child with each of the parents and what will happen or what will be the consequence of a relocation in the life of this child.
And that's required in every relocation case?
Yes, in every relocation case is required this report.
Juan Francisco, how about in Chile?
Well, about the intervention of mental health professionals, well, I will make a distinction. First of all, the family courts have advisors who are an advisor of the judge for each case, these kind of cases. And this advisor could be a psychologist or a social worker. They don't intervene exactly in a kind of evaluation of the child, but this advisor gives his or her opinion at the end of the trial, but before the judge render a decision. That's a kind of mental health professional intervention. But also there's another one related with expert reports that every party can offer during the trial. And in this aspect, mainly are a psychological evaluation. Every party can offer one. Sometimes the judge could invite the parties to just agree one expert in order to evaluate the children. And this expert has to give his or her opinion during the trial, so the party's lawyer has the opportunity to make some interrogation or cross examination to this expert. So yes, it's really important. But I may say that it's not mandatory exactly. It's very common in many cases, but it's not mandatory, and not it's always the parties offer this kind of reports.
Great. Adriana, in Brazil, what is the role of mental health professionals in an international relocation case?
All courts in all states have an interdisciplinary team with social workers and psychologists. The mental health professional are not only get involved, but are very important for the court's decision. The team composed by these workers do many studies with the children and their family and parents, relatives, and included the visiting their houses and take care with to evaluate their life conditions. It's mandatory have this kind of professional and the family process.
Excellent. Sergio, how about in Colombia, mental health professionals in your case?
Yeah, it is similar to Chile. The family court has, they have an advisors. They have advisors, they have social workers, they have psychologists. And depending on the age, as I said before, they can interview the children. They need to see what the children are thinking, if they are good or if they are in a bad condition. So after that, the social worker or the psychologist can give inform to the judge what they have seen. So it is not mandatory, but the judge always see before the ruling. They can see what the psychologist or the social worker said about that.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about your interesting case, Sergio.
Sure, yeah. Oh, so we have a very interesting case in here in Colombia a few months ago. We have the opportunity to represent the mother. The thing was, she was both American and Colombian citizenship. Who lived with her two daughters here in Colombia. She had the job opportunity in the U.S. and she decided to accept it. However, the father of the two girls didn't give his authorization to leave the country permanently. So the mother called him for a conciliation first, informal conciliation at a public notary, but the father didn't accept. So she had to file a lawsuit before the family court to obtain the permanent permission. While they were in the process, in the case, both parents decide to file a conciliation before a conciliation center out of the family court. This is like out of this process. So after a long negotiation, we could settle. But the important thing is that the father said, okay, if I can give you the permanent permit, I'm not going to give you anything about money. I don't want to do anything with the girls. It's like, I'm gonna forget them. And the mother said, okay, I don't care. I'm going to have everything with them. And apparently, it was really, really bad for the children, but this is what it is. So the mother had to leave the country, and there is no communication between the father and the girls right now, but this was the father's decision. So it was really tough for the daughters, for the children, but it was the only way to have this permanent permit.
Interesting. Listen, I'm gonna ask each of you a question related to that same fact scenario. And then I'm gonna ask you to wrap up by telling me how long you think. I know that Patricia told us that sometimes it takes years in Argentina, but tell me how long it takes to get the average case through in your jurisdiction from filing until final judgment, assuming that you're litigating it the whole way. In Florida, it could be anywhere from, it's supposed to be done on an expedited basis, but it usually takes, you know, at the least 4 to 8 months to get through the whole thing. So first of all, but I will tell you that in Florida, a court would not allow what happened in Sergio's case happened in my case, because you can't, in Florida, you cannot waive your duty to support a child. You can waive your right to visit perhaps, but you can't waive your duty to support a child. And so that would never be part of a package deal that would be approved by a court in Florida. Okay, Patricia.
Well,
what about, would the courts allow that type of thing to happen in Argentina, and then average case for you?
Well, really, the most important problem we have in Argentina with international relocation cases is that they can be for 2 or 3 years, and even they can go through 2 or 3 instances, because after the first instant resolution, the parents that oppose can go to the appeal court. And even in some cases, they can reach the Supreme Court. So in Argentina, if one of the parents really want to relocate in a very short period of time, the only option is to go to a mediation or reach an agreement. And sometimes in my experience, they offer anything or everything to be able to reach this agreement. Like they will say, I don't want any child support. I will pay you the plane tickets for you to come to see the children. Well, I'm seeing desperation really in those mediations trying to reach an agreement, because they know that if they don't reach an agreement, they will have to stay here in Argentina minimum for 2 or 3 years waiting for a final resolution, and they can't, and we can't tell them if this final resolution will allow or reject the relocation.
Interesting. Juan Francisco, how about you? Does the judge allow you to waive support as part of the go away agreement?
Yeah, well, before to answer that, I was still in my mind the case that Sergio has talked about. It's really a little bit shocking, but interesting how this the free will of the parents collide with the best interest of the child, because mm-hmm. in these cases the children lose the contact with the father. So because they arrived to this agreement outside the court, there's no possibility for the family court to control this. And it's a little bit sad in this kind of cases. So I'm still thinking about that. And about your question, well, cases of relocation in Chile, it could take anywhere from 6 months to a year. And it will depend on the evidence that every party wants to produce, but also if the losing party could file also an appeal or other legal remedies against the decision, and then it could take longer than 1 year. But I may say that it could take normally anywhere from 6 months to 1 year.
Okay. Adriana, how about in Brazil?
It's more or less the same of Juan Francisco said, that in the first instance, in the case usually takes from 6 months to a year, 1 year, and it can take less or longer depending on the proof of urgency or other factors, but it's more or less.
How about in Colombia, Sergio?
Yeah, it's similar. We can talk about could last from 3 to 6 months, but there is an appeal by one of the parents. The second instance can last approximately like 1 more year. But the thing here is right now, because of the pandemic, they can take like very, 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 very longer. So it's going to be like maybe 2-3, because sometimes the judges can even send the process, the case to the court, to the Supreme Court, or to the other court. So it's going to be really, really long.
Okay, let's do this now. Thank you. Let's answer a couple of the questions that we have from the audience. I will propose the first one to all of you, and that is the collaborative process ever used in international relocation cases in your jurisdiction? I don't know that the collaborative process is a huge thing in South America, but my question, does anybody use it in relocation cases in your jurisdiction? Patricia?
No, we don't have in Argentina collaborative cases. I know it's going very well in UK and in Spain, but we don't have that kind of resolutions options here.
How about you, Juan Francisco, in Chile? Do you have any collaborative?
Unfortunately, no. We don't have very developed a great development of the collaborative law, but it will depend on some family lawyers who are more familiar with this kind of practice. In my cases, I have a deal with some other lawyers' cases from relocation, and where everybody has the intention to arrive to an agreement and have a better solution, avoid to go to court. So it's a practice, but it's just starting. We don't have that regulated, and it will be a good news to develop here in the region. I mean, in South America in general. In Spain, we have a lot of colleagues that are dedicated to that kind of practice. So it would be great to learn from them.
Adriana, in Brazil, do they have collaborative law or some other alternative dispute resolution that would be used in an international relocation case?
Yes, we have always the mediation introduced the process, the litigation, all the process starts with the mediation or conciliation section. And after that, there, the judge can consider this case to direct the case for the specialized of the psychologist or something like that to do the some sections, specialist sections, and return to discussing about the case later that, or to nominate it a period like expertizing. And we tried all the methods turn the litigation case to a conciliation or agreement situation.
Excellent. Sergio, any collaborative in Colombia?
Oh, no, sir. I think in Argentina and Chile, we don't have this kind of process here in Colombia.
Am I correct in assuming that all of you, do you have, and let me ask the question, do you have mandatory mediation? I know Adriana mentioned it. Do you have mandatory mediation before you can try a relocation case in your jurisdiction? I'm seeing yes from Patricia. Sergio, mandatory mediation?
No, no, we don't have mandatory. We can try, but there is no mandatory. In this case, specifically with relocation, you can go directly to the judge.
How about you, Juan Francisco?
No, in Chile, we don't have, for this kind of process, we don't have a mandatory mediation. We have mandatory mediation for child support, for custody, and for visitation, but not for relocation cases. But in some cases, the parties prefer to go to mediation first, but it's not that usual, unfortunately.
Okay.
We have a mandatory mediation for most of the cases in family law.
Let me ask another question, and again, along the same lines of alternative dispute resolution. Can you arbitrate or private judge an international relocation in your jurisdiction? I see no from Patricia, no from Juan Francisco, no from Adriana, and no from Sergio. Okay, well, that was an easy one. Let me see if I have one more question because we're about out of time. I think we've covered most of the questions. So, Courtney, are we ready for the next panel? Or can I ask more questions?
You still have 5 minutes if you want to ask one more question, and then we can start the next panel.
Okay. So in Florida, assuming that that there is an agreement between the parties, if there was a prior order with regards to the children, we must still have our agreement approved by the court before somebody can relocate. So my question is do you need to get a court order even if relocation is by agreement in your jurisdiction? Patricia?
No, if there is a private agreement, then we can sign it, we can notarize this agreement, and either of the parents can present to the notary and they can make it formal, that they make this authorization for these kids to relocate to another country. But maybe as a lawyer, I will advise my client to present and submit this agreement to the court. So if there is some problem with the enforceable, it will be better if this is submit and has the consent of the court. But
how
it's not
you?
Mandatory.
How about you, Juan Francisco?
No, here in Chile, it's not mandatory, but the formalities are more related with this agreement should be signed before a public notary. In most of these cases, we are complex and include some other, issues. We recommend our clients to sign a public deed. And also, as Patricia said, we recommend to file this agreement in court in order to have a judicial approval. Because, as I said, not only include relocation, but also some other aspects like a new access regulation, child support. So it's important to have an approval from the family court.
Adriana, do you have to get your relocation agreements approved by a court in Brazil?
The parties can make private agreements, but they are only enforceable in the if they are judicially ratified. The private agreement can be used as a demonstration of parties' intentions and their leave of commitment to their promise, but it won't have the same statute of as law, it is a common and contract law. If the demand is brought to court and circumstances lead to a different scenario than the agreement, the decision doesn't have any legal obligation to stick to the party's terms.
Excellent. Sergio, do you have to get your agreements ratified by a court?
There is no need. You can go by, with the agreement between the parents with no approval by the judge.
Excellent. Well, I think our time is up. I want to thank the panel profusely for their participation and their well-thought answers. As you can tell, these lawyers are the top of their field in their countries. And one thing that you don't realize is that English is not their first language. So they have done fabulously well, and I very much appreciate their participation, both as an IAFL fellow and an AYUDEFA member. I am proud to be a member of both organizations, and I thank all of you again very much.